I'm speaking on a topic that I said should be called the Sons of Light. That is what I want to discuss with us this morning. And the best place to start this discussion this morning is for us to read the word of the Lord. And let's go to Genesis chapter 1, and we'll read from 5 verses, from verse 1 to 5. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 to 5. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, one day. Family, this morning, as I speak about this issue of sons of light, I want to just set as a platform for us to move away from this narrative in Genesis chapter 1. We all know this is the part where as time started, as we, you and I know it. And this is the creation account. It's where transformation took place, where that which was in chaos were brought into order. That which was in disorder were brought into order. That which was in opposition to God's idea was brought into alignment. And so, in verse 3 it says, "Let there be light." Why God wants light? Because light gives God a chance to do the things he has to do in chapter 1 and chapter 2 and in chapter 3. Nobody wants to work in pitch black darkness. Nobody loves load shedding. Nobody loves darkness that cripples our forward movement. Nobody likes that. And so for God to readdress or to address creation and fix it in a way that he would love for it to be, he had to separate darkness from light. In verse 4, if we can see that, verse 4 says, God saw the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. Those two cannot function in the same space. Light and darkness is not supposed to be in unison. And so God broke it apart, and he placed light in his place and take darkness and put darkness in its place, and he calls it day and night. Light equals day. Darkness equals night. And he says to them both, take your place. You take your place, and from this vantage point, this separation, I will now be able to form the earth, create what I have in my spirit and in my mind. And from the offset of time, God has been a God who cannot accommodate darkness and light in the same context. It's from day one where God says, these two never in the same space. Only once light was placed in its allotted place and darkness was placed in its allotted place could God now further go and start with a creative design for the world. He could start working. He could start doing. I say to you and I this morning, nobody does the amazing things that God did in chapter 2 and in chapter 3 of Genesis while darkness is in place, while darkness is still part of the equation. Darkness had to be eradicated and moved. So God needed illumination and clarity, and he needed to see his canvas clearly. The canvas was the earth, and he needed to work on it from a place where light could give him perspective, a panoramic view, a global view, a bird's eye view, an eagle eye view. And so God needed the light to shine into that situation before he could create anything. I'm speaking actually to you and I sons of God. That God is speaking to the inner man, to my spirit, to your spirit, to the landscape on the inside of you. That darkness does not belong there. If God is going to move you and I to dimensions that blows your mind, my mind, and the mind of everybody that's in your sphere, there cannot be residues of darkness, because for God to work and create and design on the inside of you and I, darkness has to shift. It has to move away. And God wants to work where light can show him a path and a pathway. And so we read in Genesis chapter 2, that's the account where Jesus created Eve. In Genesis chapter 3, God created is the account where Eve is now tempted by the serpent. And without reading those two chapters, let me say to you and I that when Eve was tempted by the serpent and spoke to the serpent and listened to the serpent, she gave the serpent a foothold. And you don't need much space, just a slight foothold to do the wrong thing that that the serpent wants you to do. From that moment when she engaged the serpent, allowed him to persuade her to think differently, to behave differently, to act differently, from that moment, light was lost. Light was blurred. Light was distorted at that moment. Because there was light in Adam, there was light in Eve, and that light was perfection, God's perfection. But the minute the serpent stepped in and made her mind a place where questionable things entered, it gave the enemy an opportunity to dim the light. You know, there's those buttons, these electricians knows. You can turn the lights lower or higher. And that's what's her starting point. And so what was a covenant-keeping God that had covenant with his sons of light, they replaced that covenant with man-made covers, fig leaves. And that was the initial point where power, life, light, rule and dominion was diminished, switched off a little. But we know we have a loving Father that will never leave things the way it is. He always has a backup plan. But I want to say to you and I, salvation was actually the initial plan, not the backup plan. And so what was lost in Adam and Eve, what was taken by the enemy, God wants to come and recover and restore that lost estate. And I say to you and I, darkness will not triumph. Darkness will not win. God, our Father, made sure of that. And so as we prod along this message, here comes Pastor Randolph and he says to us, we must be representations in our marketplace, representations in our workspace. Representation is quite a familiar word in our circles. We do not have a problem with vocabulary when it comes to the word representation. We are quite a fay with this word. We wield this word left, right, and center, and we use it so effectively in home cell. We speak about representation. We speak about representation all over. Salvation was the initial point for representation to kick in, to return and restore the light. It was the Father who wants to connect his sons back. Things were lost in the garden, but he wanted to bring things back. He wanted to restore the brilliance, the brightness, and the beauty that was locked up in Adam and locked up in Eve, which has been diminished. But God wants us to return and bring back the beauty and the brilliance of that light. Representation will ultimately become God's methodology for the earth today. You and I are God's methodology to restore the darkness, to restore and change the narrative. And so the meaning of representation is depicting another, emulating the original, to act on behalf of the original, to make visible a mirror image of the original. It's a powerful sense of belonging, family. Even in our speech and in our heart posture, there is this desire that God wants us to know. We need to walk not only in representation, but we have to be representation. The power that once was lost and the representation that was once lost. Now, Father says, in my sons of light, I want them to represent me the way it was originally ordained. For you and I want to say to us, family, this morning, representation is a word, but it's a process, an everyday process, everyday engaging with God, our Father. And then for us to mature in our representation, to mature in the light that's on the inside of us, there is the Holy Spirit. It's the only person that can restore that. When I got saved many, many, many years ago, I was okay, happy, born again, I'm a child of the Most High God. But there was a 2-week time where I was not filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And in that time, I did not sin, but I knew there is something void. I am not like I see my brothers and sisters. They lift their hands in total surrender to the Lord and they sing and they worship and they sing in tongues and I can't do that. And I knew something's amiss. And for 2 weeks after my born again experience, I engaged God and I said, I need that thing that I see in this one and in that one and in that one. And so I'm saying to you and I, family, being born again is fine, but being filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, the lights are switched on right there. The light in you, the light in me was switched on at that moment. I want to say to you and I, if that is not your portion at this stage, have a deep desire. Father, I need that. I need you to switch me on. I need the power of the Holy Ghost to fall on me with the evidence of speaking in tongues. I need that portion because that is going to transform this person into a son of light. I want us to ask and have a deep desire that oil in our lamp might start burning even brighter. Ask the Holy Ghost to assist you. Speak to Him. Have your moment with Him privately in your room. Say, Holy Spirit, it was said that it's only you that can transform it and change it and plug me in and put the light switch on the inside of me. So I need it. Do the work. And you know what? Watch God do that for you. Sons of light, our job is to amplify the word, amplify our Father's word, amplify Father God's face, amplify Father God's character in this dark generation, in this world that has so many problems and issues. Light must return representationally. Light must return. Let's go to the scriptures this morning. As I read this first one, it says in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 5, for you are all sons of light. You don't need an interpretation for that. You are all sons of light and sons of the day that was separated from the darkness in Genesis 1. You are sons of light. You are sons of day. We are not of the night. We are not of the darkness. John 9, verse 5. John chapter 9, verse 5 says, while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And if you read it in your Bible, it's typed in red because it's Jesus' words. He says, while I am in this world, I am the light of the world. But guess what? When he left, when he ascended, and he sent us the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, and he now tells us, now you are the light of the world. You are the sons of light. I will be gone one day. I will be gone. But I will leave you here in the earth to be the light that I was when I walked the face of the earth. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 6. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 6 says, for God said, light shall shine out of darkness. Is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light to the of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of God. Sons of light has the capacity and the ability to give light, but also to give the knowledge of God to a dark situation, to darkness. Ephesians 5 verse 8. Ephesians 5 verse 8 says, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. 1 Peter 2 verse 9 says, but you are a chosen nation, race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellence of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Into his marvelous light. I'm reading one more, two more. 1 John 1 verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and announce to you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness. Our Father is light. Guess what? The sons must be light. Children take after their parents. Our Father is light, and so we should bear the markings and the characteristics and the traits of light, because our Father is light. One more. James chapter 1, 17 says, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming from the Father of lights, whom with there is no variation or shifting shadow. I've read these scriptures as an anchor to you and I. We are not of the night. We are not of darkness. Our Father is a Father of light. We should and must be sons of light. And in order for this light to radiate from my being, from my spirit, there should not be traces of darkness. I go to my own life and I address any issue that is in opposition to light, in opposition to my Father of light. I say to areas of darkness in my own life, be thou gone, be removed, because the two cannot function in the same household, in the same canvas, in the same context. I say to you and I, Father, help us to switch our lights on. Let me not be a flickering candle somewhere in the distance, but let me be a bright, brilliant radiation of what you would want me to be. I say to you and I, put the switch on. Put the lights on. And sometimes, family, it's so important that you realize while I'm speaking about a light switch, I'm speaking about my spirit. I'm speaking about my disposition as a son. It's an inscription on my heart. It's an inscription on my spirit. When I walked the face of the earth, it was this in mind. I am a son of light. And sons of light has a code and a behavior that is not common to any other son. I'm saying to you and I this morning, when I prepared this, my pen started moving and the Lord starts saying things. I want to say a few things that the Holy Spirit just prophetically dropped into my spirit. Sons of light, you are the tools. You are the workmanship that God wants to use in this day and age, in 2026, and for the generations to come, you are the tool of light that's going to address any form of darkness. The earth has a groan, a deep, deep cry for healing, for restoration, for light to shine and bring change. And it will only happen when these sons, the ones online, the ones here sitting, the ones who are listening to this message, ask for the light to return and shine that light with confidence in a world that is truly in darkness. Sons of light, God says, you are my sword. I wield you all over the earth, sons of light, and you bring change. You reclaim the light that was lost once upon a time. You showcase knowledge to people who are living in blankness. You are my sword that I wield. Sons of light, if you are switched on, God says, the switched on son is the son who has an urgency on their spirits, not only for this word, but has an urgency to make sure Father's mandate gets done in the earth. Redemption gets done in the earth. Our environment, our homes, our families, our workplace colleagues are in need of light. Do not undervalue what you bring to your workplace, family. Sometimes when you are not there, chaos erupts. When you are not there, things are just not. They can't even find a pen or a stapler when you are not there. You are so precious to bring light and rectitude in a chaotic situation. Don't undervalue who you are, what you carry, and what your light brings to your workplace, to your environment. Some of your colleagues, they become fearful, stressed out when they realize you took the day off. Oh Lord, what's going to happen? My colleague next to me calls me his backstop. Only because I'm older, a little bit more wiser, more grace, but it's actually more light. More light. That when I walk into his chaotic situation, I don't even talk. The kids look and they see light came and darkness flees. So I say to you and I, do not undervalue what you bring to your marketplace. You are the light to that situation. So I ask you and I to ensure fully that the plug point is working, that the light switch is working, there is no short circuit, there is no power failure, the current is running perfectly through the lines and light shines when the button is pressed. Sons of light, you are God's evangelistic tool. Back in the day we had outreach, there's still outreach happening sometimes. But we have now come to a place where we realize I am the outreach. I am the outreach program. I am the tent campaign. I am the altar call at the tent campaign. I am the laying on of hands and the restoration of people's brokenness. I am it because God says in Genesis 1:3, let there be light. So you light, go to the place of darkness and switch on. And be a light to those people. Brilliance and brightness has been locked up on the inside of you, family. And our job is to allow that to shine forth day after day after day. Not having an off day. Sons of light, no off day. We shine forth the greatness and the power of our God every single day. Sons of light, we do not debate this message. We do not go home and say, should it, if, maybe. I'm not sure if that was said right. Sons of light, step into the truth of the matter and become the truth of the matter. Sons of light are a lighthouse. You know, it has a long beam that shines over the ocean. We have the ability to bring ships back home. You hear the voice of the Spirit this morning. You have the ability to bring ships who's outside on those open seas. Some lost, Some needed guidance. You are that light that will tell them, this is the harbor. Come this way. Come home this way. You have on the inside of you that beaming light that will bring those ships back home safely. Sons of Light understands fathering and the importance of fathering. Father makes the lights burn. Father keeps the lights burning on the inside of you. Every week when there's this deposit of grace, this deposit, this message, this word, the labor that comes from Pastor Randolph, Pastor Tamu, and all these powerful men of God, they labor in the word. And what are they doing? They keep your lights burning. They keep you off your switch on. They keep you alive in the spirit by us embracing this word, living this word, taking it very seriously, and beaming across the nations of the earth a message of hope. Sons of Light, our connectivity, our light switch, the epicenter of where we find our power from is the word of God coming from our authentic Father. That's where our lights are switched on. And we are dynamic not because of our own doings. We are powerful not because of our own doings. There is a Father over us that keeps the switch on and that keeps my light burning. The Genesis 1 verse 1 account was a transformational situation, transforming the darkness into light, creating, designing, bringing character and order and definition to something that was formless and empty. Speaking about what my life used to be like, I want to ask you and I, let's give Father God permission. Every day, not just on Sundays, every day, let's give him permission. Let's give him carte blanche to work on my light, to address the issues of the light on the inside of me. And when that process is in place, I want to say to you and I, it comes with denying ourselves, saying to myself, my DNA is not good enough to do kingdom bidding. I need the DNA from the heavens, the template from the heavens to come into my spirit, come into my life, open up the realm and switch the lights on. I deny who I am, who I want to be, what I am. I even put aside every title, every acclamation, every success, because if God is not part of it, the lights are off. If Father is not a part of all my things that I achieve, I am actually switched off. I say to us this morning, family, our reconstruction in Genesis chapter 1, where God in his loving disposition says, let there be, is our starting point to our light. The Bible says in chapter 2, and the Spirit of the Lord hovered over the waters. Let there be the hovering of the Spirit of God over my darkness. Hover over my issues. Hover over my unrest, my unsettlement, the things that makes darkness override the light. Come, Holy Spirit, and hover. This week, in times of fasting and prayer, have moments with the Holy Spirit to say, come and fix, change this. Give the Holy Spirit permission to change the mandate, change the situation. Move me from just flickering somewhere in a little room to become a beam of light to the nations and to ships afar. As we continue, I want to say there are things that are diminishing our light. There are things that are disturbing the brightness of the glory of God in the inside of us. For Eve, she moved away from Adam. She found herself by the tree by herself. That says to me, do not walk away from covering. Do not distance yourself from proximity of covering. You're moving into a downward disposition when you do that. And then you're going to find that you stand too close to the fire. You might just burn yourself. And then you find yourself giving the devil a foothold where he can run havoc into your lives. Eve stepped away from covering. Do not walk away from fathering. Do not walk away from covering. The second thing she did was she entertained conversations with the serpent. She entertained listening to a voice that does not sound like Father's voice. Be very careful, family, you and I, that we do not give the enemy a microphone to speak over our lives. We do not give him a chance to have con. I do not understand snake. That language is foreign to me. I do not understand serpent. Well, Eve, she is in the brightness of her glory, understood serpent language. That conversations, I see to it as counsel from foreign voices. Be very careful who speaks to your spirit. Be very careful who you allow to take a microphone and declare over your life. You and I must be wiser than this. These things dims the brightness. Ask Eve. Don't let foreign counsel be your counsel. Have authentic spiritual fathers declare over you the intent of heaven for you. Then later on, at this tree, remember Adam is not here. This is happening outside of covering. And that dims the lights. She eats of the fruit that was told, don't eat. I say to you and I, make sure the table that we eat from is the authentic table that is set out by our spiritual fathers, by our authentic apostles. Do not eat foreign food. You might find yourself that there's poison in the pot and it dims the lights and it disturbs, it brings barrier between light, between father and between son. I literally want to say to you and I, with one posture, one thing that happened in the Garden of Eden, Eve failed at the four pillars of apostolic. She did not obey the word. She had fellowship, but not with the right fellowship. She did not acknowledge the table of the Lord the way she should know it. And her prayer life, her intimacy has been marred. All four pillars of the apostolic has been challenged in Genesis chapter 1. For you and I in 2026, let this be a lesson to you and I. Do not take lightly, excuse the pun, do not take lightly what the Holy Ghost does Sunday after Sunday, week after week. In our spirits. Do not take that lightly. Make the word your Alpha and your Omega. And allow that word to brighten up our representation. Brighten up our lives. Don't pitch your tent too close to the fire. Don't pitch your tent too close to Sodom and Gomorrah. Don't pitch your tent too close to people and entities that fights against this message. That fights against the message of spiritual fathers and spiritual sons. Don't pitch your tent too close. Then, if I do that, I might just open up a loophole for my light to be dimmed. Stop falling at the same temptation. Tripping at the same issue. Every 6 weeks, I fall at the same thing. We need to get to a place of deep maturity as sons of light's family. And do not take your lamp, your light, and put it under a bushel, under a basket, according to Matthew 5 verse 15. Do not hide your brilliance, your gifting, your good support, your strong support, your contribution towards what God wants for the earth. Do not live in a disposition where you say, my salt has lost its flavor. Do not do that. You are more valuable to God as a son of light. And you are more precious to God as a son of light. And you have light on the inside of you. The only way to dispel of the darkness every day, you and I. In Genesis, God dealt with darkness and light. For us here in this day and age, honor. Honor your spiritual parents. And when you finish, honor them, honor the word that they bring. And when you finish, honor the word that they bring, comply with the word that they bring. And when you finish done that, step into a becoming of that word that they bring. and do it from a place of deep humility. These are the nuggets. These are the ingredients that will keep our lights burning. I say to you and I, darkness automatically moves when light steps to the fore. If we go and press the button now, it will be dark. If we press the button again, it will be light. Light dispels darkness. You are a son of light. Make sure your light is affecting every sphere of the people around you. Pastor Randall spoke a powerful message. You can find it on YouTube. The camels are coming. I say to you and I, don't wait for camels to arrive from somewhere. Be the camel in this house today. And when those new camels come, they find camels of like-mindedness in this house. They're not coming to show us how to be camels. They will find similar sons. Camels that carries great grace, carries great weight in the spirit. Be the camel today in this house while we're waiting on the other camels to come. Powerful message on YouTube. You can look for it. Look it up. Darkness cannot push its agenda as long as you and I are alive. Darkness cannot push its agenda. Darkness has to bow to the Son of Light that says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Gentiles will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising. And God says, I will make you an eternal excellence, and you will be to me a joy of many nations. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1, 2, 3, and 15. You can read that. Arise and shine, family. The darkness out there needs us. John 3:20 says, evil hates the light because light exposes the darkness. It's okay for your light to make discomfort situations to people and situations where darkness prevails. It's okay to beam. It's okay to shine forth and bring rectitude. When is your light at its strongest? When is my light at its strongest? It's at its strongest when they take a thorn crown and they push it in my head and blood streams from my head. When they take a sword and they pierce my side and blood and water gush forth from my side. When I watch them mock me, laugh at me, scoff at me. When I look how they play lots for my garment, for my tunic. When I look at how my mother and my brothers are lamenting and crying for my life. This is Jesus on the cross. And he steps into a position of son of light. He turns to the one on the one side. He says, today, you will be with me in paradise. When your life feels like you have reached your very end, there's still light in you to do something right, to do something powerful, to save someone else. When you are at the worst of who you say you are, you've reached your very end. Here comes God and says, I have a son of light that even when you have many, many, many challenges, you get to that company and you produce light and everybody wants to know, how do you do this? Son of light. Don't take the light that has been placed on the inside of you lightly. You carry the answers. You carry the answers to the darkness. Jesus is sure proof that even on the cross, when I'm about to give up my spirit one more time, I'll shine as a son of light, a firstborn son of light, and I will make this guy's life better. Light heals. Light can save. And light can redeem. And Father says with a stern and a loving voice, arise, shine. Your light has come. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And kings will come to your brightness. People in authority needs your light. People who are managers and CEOs, those who carry a title much higher than you, needs your light. When you don't come to work, they shiver because you are the answer to many of the things that they sometimes cannot even deal with. Sometimes your CEO don't even know how to open up an email. And a son of light must help this man. What is light? Light is me saying, yes, Lord, remove every form of darkness so that my brilliance are not disturbed and diminished. What is light? Light is say, Father, I welcome every time the word comes, keep the switch on, keep the light burning, keep the radiance strong. That is light. I embrace humility, Father. I accept obedience. I want to live lowly of heart. And in doing that, you keep the lights bright and burning. I'm sure, Jesse, you can testify of this. You can testify that in your environment, how the light is so important. Choose heaven's template, sons of God. Choose the DNA from the heavens. Light is a disposition, a character placed there by the Holy Ghost. And that says, you have been transformed. You are no more darkness. Live in that dimension. Light is the sun that says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. We have that capacity to fix things. Light is the sun that says, I might look like Mary and Joseph's boy, a carpenter, but I promise you, on the inside of me, there's a Father of lights beaming so brightly, but he's keeping me in abeyance until the time is being fulfilled for me to showcase this radiance, this brilliance. You might look on the outside like that, but on the inside, there is power from a dimension that other people still need to tap into. Let there be light on the inside of your family. Let there be the brightness, the radiance, the glory of God on the inside of you. Do you hear the instruction from the Holy Ghost? If it's not bright enough, do whatever it takes to turn it into brightness. Lament. Go into your closet and cry before the Lord. Speak to the Holy Ghost. Ask Him for assistance. Ask Him that you are not supposed to be someone sitting in a sycamore tree crying, please look at me. I need you to come to my house. Ruth was brightness to her generation. Esther was brightness to her generation. Lydia was brightness and light to her people, to her situation. You are light to anybody that needs light. Be like your father. He's a father of lights. Let's be sons of light. Carry this disposition. Carry this light wherever you go. And I do not switch the light off when I want to be a different son. I am a son of light all the time. Every minute of every day. I ask the Holy Spirit, please, Holy Ghost, let this word find a root, a place in the hearts and minds and in the spirits of every son, every listener, everyone listening and tapping into this message. And let us forever have the light of God in the front of our eyes, wherever we go. And let darkness move because you showed up, because you came, because you stepped into the room. Let light eradicate and dispel all inaccuracies, all the stuff that says you are not worthy. You are the light of the world, family. When Jesus left, he says, now you are the light of the world. I say to us in conclusion, when we walk away from this environment, we will face the darkness. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Let Father get the glory every time they look at you. Let Father get the praise every time they experience your light. Let Father get the glory every time you step up and announce your presence. Please stand in the house of the Lord this morning. Let's just come before the Lord. Father, your word is yes and amen. Your word is truth. It's not a lie. Your word is light. It's not darkness. Your word has the ability to make of us sons of light because the world needs light. And we lift our hands to you, Lord, and say, let there be light in our lives. Let there be light in our spirits. We need to represent out there. Fill the earth with light. As the sons of light walks across the earth, as they fill the earth in the north, the south, the east, and the west. In every province there's a son of light. In every country there's sons of light. And Father, I pray that darkness dissipates as we come to the fore. As we come to the fore. As we come to the fore. Heal our land using sons of light. Heal our families using sons of light. Bring rectitude and wholeness, Father, to every form of brokenness, every form of inaccuracy, God. As sons of light, we step into our domain, not by our own doing, but by the light of the Holy Spirit that's on the inside of us. We magnify you, Father. Lift your hand and ask. Ask for your switch to be switched on. Tell the Holy Ghost you need it more than ever before, church. I need that light. Spirit of the living God, perfect this word on the inside of us. Oh Lord, oh Lord. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Amen.